You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Any friends, etc., spending more than 30 minutes at the dwelling will need to pay rent.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Everybody give Celine a round of applause. She just submitted her PhD, which is fantastic for you.
Finally.
And also fantastic for us because we get to have you back.
Not with much energy yet, but one day.
Congrats on getting that in. That's a big achievement.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming up and talking renters' rights. We've had some crazy texts, as we always do. We've had some emails from people about what's going on in their whare across the city at the moment. The first one is from someone who says they've got black mould in their house. They brought it up to their landlord, who said they're not going to raise our rent in exchange for us not complaining. What?
Is that blackmail? Mold.
Exactly. So black mold, the landlord won't raise the rent if they don't complain. I'm sensing an illegal vibe to this. What's going on here?
Yeah, I'm definitely sensing an illegal vibe. That's for sure. So basically the mold is one of these things that's framed usually quite unhelpfully as a mutual responsibility. And so the idea really is that the landlord has a responsibility to make sure that property is able to be mold free. So there can't be a underlying issue that means that black mold keeps appearing.
Yeah.
But often it's kind of blamed, I think, on the tenant's upkeep. So there's quite a few resources online about what to do to kind of keep mold at bay, deal with mold. So I would make sure you kind of have done all of those things, have a good record of all the things you've been doing. Again, like keep some receipts to show that it's not to do with upkeep, it's to do with like a bigger issue.
Yeah.
But I definitely know that often I had a friend whose old landlord would say like, oh, well, you just need to keep all the windows and doors open whenever you're at home all winter. That's not really a livable option. There's a bigger problem there. So
there's a reason we've decided walls are a good thing in houses, you know?
She could also see the soil through her floorboards.
Oh, so. Wow. My God.
So I would keep an eye on that, but the threatening aspect doesn't seem good. I think there's a reality that we're in a slightly different climate at the moment in terms of renters' rights. So I understand people not wanting to kind of take risks given the changes that might happen to healthy homes, et cetera, at some point. But I would call your local advocate. So like I would call the Tenants Protection Association or go to the Citizens Advice Bureau, because they will have a sense of how you're able to escalate these things, basically. But I wouldn't be accepting that kind of threat.
No, and I think also it's hard when it is one of those joint responsibility type things, but you can't, if you've got that in writing, that's a real, like, if your landlord has said to you in an email that's a good email
to
download and save on your computer, just in case you ever have to head to the tenancy tribunal.
Yeah, that's a very good point. It's like if something like this that just seems absolutely out of bounds, keep a record of that. And then if you're doing what you kind of have been advised to do, read the mold upkeep, and it's not working, just keep photos of everything, keep receipts full of that. And then if you have to escalate it and go to the tenancy tribunal, you have all of this evidence with you.
100%. More straightforward one for this one. What have we got here, Stella?
Someone's asked, I'm on a periodic lease. How much notice do I need to give if I want to move out?
Okay, so on a periodic lease, you need to give at least 28 days written notice to end the tenancy, but the landlord can agree to a shorter time. But if they do, then that agreement needs to be something in writing.
Yeah.
So you still go about it the same way.
Make sure if he says, yeah, that's fine, verbally, you get that confirmed in an email as well.
Yeah, you want to have it written down.
We love a paper trail.
We do.
As you said, especially in this current climate.
Yes.
Someone's property manager wants to get their house meth tested, but none of us can be home during the process. Are we allowed to refuse on the grounds that we don't want someone random in our house while we're not there?
Well, I think the meth testing thing is tricky, in that I think it's often framed kind of like a property inspection, which is, again, something we can't really say no to. So often they have to follow the usual, for the meth testing, they have to follow all the protocol around giving notice, and are meant to be trying to find a time that works for you. So I don't think refusing really becomes an option often. It's like about managing to find a time that is okay, But it's one of those difficult things where if they want to, they probably can eventually make that happen.
Maybe it's something you could, if you really can't be home for it, maybe it's something you could discuss with your landlord or your property manager in this case, whether they can also be there.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, they might say no, but it's worth bridging it, you know.
Absolutely. I think you're not given a right to refuse completely, but just go into it with good faith and just hopefully you can manage. Hope they can wait a little while and make a situation that works for everyone, but that's also a good point. If your property manager can be there, whether or not they're the ideal person you want, keeping an eye on the situation.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one given that we don't have kind of that power, I don't think.
Stink bars as well. Yeah, getting absolutely. A meth test done in your flat is just... It's a bad feeling.
Yeah.
It's a bad feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine. I haven't experienced it.
We had a very, to the letter of the law and to the letter of their contract with the landlord property manager who got our flat meth tested regularly. Of course, nothing ever came back.
No.
But it's quite an unpleasant experience when you live somewhere to just know that someone's coming in to just do that.
Absolutely.
If I could wave my magic wand and change some legislation, I know what I would be doing around that. So
yeah, there's
solidarity to that person.
Absolutely. There's your landlord can add kind of additional, if they're really meth obsessed, they can add additional kind of lines to your tenancy agreement. So keep an eye on that when you're moving in, but they still need to follow the kind of rights that you have as a tenant. So they can't override anything in the Residential Tenancies Act as well, but keep an eye on that too.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Good thing to remember as well. I know we've got lots of students shuffling around at the moment too. If you're signing a contract for the first time, just read all those little added on bits too.
Yeah, read through it with someone who's flatted before, or a parent or a friend or someone that might have a law student might be useful, whoever you can find. And keep an eye on the tenancy services resources as well around that.
Totally. As always, we've got great resources linked in the podcast for A Room of One's Own. If you have a question about your renting situation, you can always text us on 5395, DM the Breakfast Instagram page, hit us up on Facebook, send us an email, breakfast@95bfm.com. We want to help you out as much as we can. Thank you, Celine.
No problem.
Another day in paradise, eh?
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.